At this time, I will call the Franklin Township Board of Trustees regular business meeting to order at 12:01 PM on November 14th. And I would ask Chief Smith if he would open us with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of life. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. I ask that you put your hand over this meeting, bless each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jan, will you lead us in the pledge?
Yes, I will. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call, sir.
Mr. Blevins?
Here.
Mr. Fleshman?
Here.
And Mr. Leeser?
Here. All right, moving on. We don't have any old business. Patty, you're up.
I have nothing.
Okay.
What? Nothing.
Wow.
Monday was a holiday, so... Yep.
Everything's quiet.
Everything got quiet, yes.
Thank you. Franklin County Sheriff's Office, you have anything for us?
Just that I stopped on Ray Avenue today, walked through, took a bunch of pictures, talked to our environmental. Jim, I'll meet with you, see if we can figure out some way to get all that cleaned up. But I'm going to be contacting the owner also. So there is quite a bit of trash out there. You know, it is private property. We're going to work with the owner to try to get that cleaned up. It's a good-sized camp, though.
I have a question on regards to that. That owner's been here for many meetings, and I've been very upfront with them and et cetera. And if it wasn't for the good residents, and especially one resident that spearheads cleaning that up constantly, we've met resistance because he wants access to one area, and I know if we gave up our access, what that would become. What more can we do to hold his feet to the fire for his property? Is there anything that we would need to file through the Franklin County? Is there some kind of watch list?
I'll get with Chief on that. I'll get with our environmental. I mean, that is, even if he's not the one that directly caused it, there is quite a bit of trash and environmental concern back there from tires, the numerous vehicles we pulled out of there. It's quite a health hazard, so I'm not sure, but it might be.
Fortunately, do you keep track of how much that we've taken from there? Because one of the things that I've seen him sit in this meeting, as well as a resident that goes out every day and picks up, and by her good nature in doing what she does, it keeps him off the hook.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, well, there's nothing there. Well, yeah, because we picked it up because we were notified.
It's funny, there's probably at least a 40-yard container minimum hauled up just over one camp. So
the amazing part to me is nobody sees it happening.
Yeah. Well,
they carry it in piece by piece.
But they don't. Yeah, others don't see it. There's a lot of ways to access that. There's probably at least 20-plus tires back there. I stopped counting. There's a lot.
Well, I appreciate your due diligence.
So we'll... Yeah. I'll work with you, Chief. I'll get with you and see what we can do.
Thank you. We do have more stuff under new business, but I am going to jump around on the itinerary, on the
agenda.
Thank you, John. Chief Smith, we have some officers here today that we want to recognize.
Thank you, gentlemen. Two gentlemen want to come up front.
It's not like you're coming to the principal's office.
Yes. So the following three officers, there's only two present, Sergeant Pollock couldn't be here. Officer Kidwell and Officer West are being issued the Medal of Valor for their bravery, courage, and poise during the critical incident that took place on May 12th. A lone gunman attempted to execute one of his coworkers, fled from the West Jeff Amazon warehouse, and was confronted by several law enforcement agencies in the area of Klein and Georgesville Road. The gunman began firing at officers and was quickly neutralized. All officers acted with extreme courage and bravery.
So today we're giving them what?
The Medal of Valor.
The Medal of Valor. And then we'll move these chairs and get back here and get a get a photo. Appreciate what they've done for the township, and I've seen the video, as some of others here have.
It's somewhat disturbing.
It's somewhat disturbing of what they actually go through. I would encourage everyone here to go through the Citizens Academy, through the Sheriff's Office when it gets started back up. But it's still, I've been through it, been through Columbus. It still doesn't do justice of what they faced that day, with the situation that they were handed in.
I know.
They handled it very well, very professional.
At that time.
You were what, 3-4 days on?
That would have been my first day driving. Yeah.
First day driving.
I can imagine what your mom thought after what
else.
I said.
The lecture was ungodly.
Coming back to you.
Yeah.
Beside your man.
He's going to be in the middle.
Sure. Well, you got your hands full. We'll do it later.
Thank you. Hair doesn't want to roll. All right. Moving on to public comments.
No, we
sure.
Got El Paso.
Well, I believe that's on the public comments. That's why I'm moving on to that.
No, I got a presentation.
Oh, do you?
It's on the agenda, sir, under new business.
Okay.
Dusty, come ahead.
I'm first?
Yes, sir.
Here?
Yeah.
All right.
So Dusty came to me with a problem, so I had it put on the agenda. We got a small show.
We should have like a couple, 3 videos to show.
Yep.
And
could
Chief,
somebody shut those lights out,
here.
Please?
You're here, too.
I know everybody here is a resident of township. I live on El Paso Drive myself. Several of my other neighbors are with me today that have also suffered the same problem I'm having. For the past, I've been there 16 years, going on 16 years. Lately, I'd say the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I've noticed a lot more foot traffic, people walking the dogs, kids on bikes. And in that same agenda, we've got people with lead foot. It's getting to the point now where I've talked to a couple of township guys, Byron. I've had speed cameras on my yard for a couple weeks, a couple different times. I've had a cop car in my yard for a speed deterrent once, worked for a while, didn't help. This is the most recent. It was happening in my house less than 2 weeks ago. Hopefully we can put that up the right way.
I don't know that I can.
If not, you want to look towards the bottom right of this screenshot that you're seeing. This is the most recent incident in my yard. A young, unlicensed, uninsured driver comes flying around the curve about 60 miles an hour, ends up in my yard, does pretty good property damage again.
There it goes.
Holy Saginaw.
If you show the other one, you might show him where it stops. Yeah, this is where the car actually stops in my yard. Bam! That last piece you see falling over is a stone column in my yard. I wish you could have showed that again, dear.
Yeah.
The reason I say this is, when this happened, it was an unlicensed, uninsured driver that does the hit skid. If you watch this for a second, you'll see a truck pull up. That's my dogs in the background, sorry. But this ain't the first time I've had property damage. And you see what the kid does right here.
Jumps in the car and takes off.
This is his getaway driver as he leaves my scene with the damage. Now, again, this is not the only time it's happened on my street, nor to me. My neighbor Jerry next door suffered about $7,000 worth of damage to his truck from another unlicensed, uninsured driver. I've got a neighbor across the street that suffered 5 mailboxes in the last 4 years. Uninsured. There was another incident in front of my house.
Someone trying to turn into his drive and they just come flying around.
Yep. Another neighbor down the street.
Please put the lights back on someone.
Thank you. County has at least 5 times lost a mailbox. Her next door neighbor has 11 times lost a mailbox. But most recently, my biggest concern is the foot traffic that we've had, the kids, people on bikes have dramatically increased in the last 5, 6, 7 years on my street, which is a good thing. It's neighborly, it's friendly. pretty much everybody knows everybody, but the speeders are getting out of control.
So
something has to happen.
30 feet from coming into your home, correct?
Yes. Yes. And I swear to this day, if something happens to one of my grandkids out there, it's going to change the whole scenario. And I don't mean just by my grandkids. If somebody's walking their kid down the street, walking their dog down the street, these people don't give a crap about the 25 mile an hour speed limit.
Are they cutting through, do you think? Yeah. Or do they live in
the
area?
That's exactly what it is. They know that if they come off of Hague or they come off of Wilson, they can get to the opposite side super quick. The biggest problem we have, or another problem we have, is the light got took out at Hague in El Paso, which makes Fisher, or Hague, a racetrack from Fisher to Trayview. But I got a buddy that lives on the corner right there. Since the school's gone, the light's gone, instant racetrack. Now, right behind John's house, one, two, three doors down, is where the girls lost her 11th mailbox. Her next-door neighbor, 5 mailboxes. And this ain't all of my neighbors yet. I've got a petition signed by a few of them that are totally in favor of speed bumps, more patrols. Something's got to shake, because it's getting to the point where somebody's going to get killed, flat out.
What time frame would you say? Because that was what time was that happened?
12 hours.
Afternoon, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Would you say that it was in the afternoon time is predominantly more? Or does,
it's all
is
day.
Flashman, you can come to my house, and I've got video cameras 24-7 running on my house. And I tell all the officers, anybody in the township, come to my house, you pick the days you want to look at, you pick the hours you want to look at, and I guarantee you a $100 bill in any 2 hours or any hour that you pick. If you don't find 5 speeders, I'll give you a $100 bill. It's that bad. I can set my dogs, watch my cameras. And my dog, when you see my dog go like that, you know what I mean? Because he sees the blur is all he sees. Now, I got an American Bully and I've got a Shih Tzu. My American Bulldog, I've got him trained, like click, click, watch the cameras. And he does it every single time. So that way I know who's coming in my driveway, who's not, and my dog will alert me. And so if he just sees a flash, he won't really bark, but he'll look. And that's when I know, prime example, Jerry last night, we was talking today about a motorcycle that he heard last night at about 10 o'clock heading eastbound on El Paso Drive. And that's what you seen in my cameras was a choo. So that tells me he's far from 25 miles an hour. So my theory is speed bumps, roundabouts, I don't know what the deal is. Street lights would be a major plus. But there's got to be more enforcement of the speed, whether it be the speed bumps or a guy out in my driveway, you know, holding a radar gun and another guy pulling him over, something. Something is getting to the point where just the property damage alone from these uninsured, unlicensed drivers cost us money. That we got to fix our property back up to be where we're happy again. But this guy gets, oh, go on about your business now, just like this guy the other day. He comes to my house, or like I said, he drove into my yard, destroyed my yard. He gets in a vehicle, leaves the scene, comes back 15 minutes later, and I'm not knocking Mr. West. He did a great job that day. My theory should have been, one, he should have been drug tested, DUI, something, because he was on something. I don't care what anybody says. The boy was on something. You don't lose control of a car like that at 65, 60 miles an hour and just jump and run the way that he did. But the property damage is getting to the point. My neighbor across the street, Karen, has lost 5 mailboxes. The most recent one I put up, she gave $245 for this mailbox. 3 days later, bang, mailbox down in pieces on the ground. So I come back over, put it back together for her again. It's been hit 4 more times.
So this gentleman came back after he took off with
If you'd watched the video, you actually see him come through my yard on 2 different videos. First, he leaves. He's heading eastbound. He loses control. He's into my yard. He's airborne across one of my driveways, across a couple of my bushes. He comes to a stop at the other mailbox. And this is what he gets when he gets out of the car. Oh, sir, once he comes back. Oh, it's just a mailbox because he knocked my column over.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me think he was on something, because he's looking at a mailbox in my driveway that's still standing on the opposite side of my driveway.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tell the kid, buddy, that ain't a mailbox you hit. Luckily for him, his sake and his mom's sake, there's about a 10-ton boulder in my front yard. He was that far from it. Had he hit that? Now, what got me that day was when I get out there, I shouldn't say this to anybody, when I come out the front door, I'm packing. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
The same day. When I come out that front door, my 45 is in my hand. So I see him get in the truck. He leaves. So now I'm thinking, I see the car there, the horn's blowing. The doors are blown open. There's 5,000 car pieces in my yard. So now I'm thinking they're going to find me a dead body in the car is what I'm thinking. That's why he left. I don't know why he left, but that's what I'm thinking. There's somebody dead in that car. Because I thought for sure he hit that rock. Because when you sit in my house, you always hear the wrecks out back on the freeway. The Interstate 70 is my backyard. Mm-hmm. So when I'm looking at my cameras like I'm watching that, I'm getting ready to jump up to run out back. And the camera that you guys see there, my main camera is my main driveway just like this. That's where he comes to a stop at. So as the camera's recording and I hear the first boom, I take it that it's outside. So as I get ready to jump up and look out, my main camera picks him up coming to a stop. So now I know he's out front. We proceed to go out front. By the time I get out front, boom, 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 he's jumping in the truck, he leaves. 15, 20 minutes go by after the cops show up, or as the cops are showing up, I see this kid walking down the street with his mom. Now his mom did the right thing and she was cool about it. But when they got there, it was, oh, we're gonna fix this, we're gonna fix that. I got cousins can do this, I got people can. I've had several problems with my yard. One, where the drain company came in years ago, put their track hole in my yard. I still got track hole marks in my yard from that 7, 8, 9 years ago. So at this point, I'm done. Nobody's coming in my yard. Nobody's fixing nothing. You're going to pay the price, or we're going to go to court, one or the other. So I give them the ultimatum that day with Mr. West being there of either you come up with some cash to pay for the damage in my yard and agree to bring me some dirt and whatever for me to fix my yard, I'm fine with it. With him was me, he should have went to the can that day. He should have went to jail for reckless operation, leaving the scene, God knows what else. And another thing I didn't really like about that day, Mr. West, I'm not knocking your police procedures, but as he comes to get his belongings out of the car, none of that was checked. So he could have bought out 5 bags of cocaine out of the trunk, and nobody would have known it, because this guy's gone down the road. Now he comes back, and now he's entitled to get everything that he wants out of this car that he just trashed in my yard, but he can get all of his equipment out, whatever he needs. He can just go on about his business.
Did he live in the area? Where did the white truck take him to?
Well, it was a gray truck, or a tan truck like mine. He actually lives on Hegg Avenue. It'd be the third or fourth house at El Paso and Hegg Avenue. He's on the, okay. It'd be the west side.
So he went home, mom, I wrecked the car.
Yep.
She's probably like, why are you...
And she basically brought him back by the earlobe, you know, hey, you're going to fess up. That's nice, you're going to fess up. One, you shouldn't have been driving the car. Two, when you do that, the world's full of crazy people. I'm not saying I'm not crazy sometimes. But at that point in time, he didn't know how close he was. If he'd have turned on me and came at me, I'd be the first to tell you. I'm going to shoot the man. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's going on. I know he's in that car. And thoughts are racing. You know what I mean? So as I go back in the house, I put my gun away because the threat's gone. Everything's fine. We call the cops out. And it just seemed like he was like this. Don't do that again. See you later. If it was me... No operator's license, no insurance, and him being of Mexican descent, which I'm not knocking him for that, but there should have been something more done to say, he can be driving a car today, and I bet your butt he's driving a car today.
Should have not that been impounded if you have no insurance, Chief?
It did get impounded.
Yeah.
Oh, we impounded it?
It did get impounded. Yeah, Kaplan came out and got it.
Okay.
Yeah, they come out and got it. But there again, like I said, he wasn't drug tested, he wasn't DUI, he wasn't any of that. And that's none of my business. All I'm worried about is my property. But now I'm to the point where I've got me, Jerry, Dennis, Sam and Karen, Connie and Mike down the street, Connie and Mike's neighbor down the street, Connie and Mike's neighbor across the street, John and Connie on the corner, have all suffered damage that we got to pay for. Now, the biggest part to that for me is, first time I'll knock it, ain't no big deal, I'll pay for that. But when you pay property tax, the way we pay property tax out here, that's getting to the extreme to keep your property nice, but you let somebody come in and just destroy it and go, oh, don't do that again. That's how it feels to me. And I feel like I'm ignored in a way, because I said I've had the speed cameras in my yard to collect data twice. What data did you collect? My other theory is, this has been 7, 8 years I've been, we'll just use the word bitching, about speed on my street. And in the last 7 years, it's gotten worse. It's gotten to where there's just no, they don't care. It's a racetrack. Like I said, anybody in the room can come to my house, pick a day, pick an hour you want to look at, Monday through Saturday, Monday through Friday. It don't matter what day you pick, what hour you pick. Come and sit on my couch and watch me. Watch the cameras with me, and you'll see them. It's 24/7. There's no 5 to 7, 9 to 4, 1 to 3. There's none of that. It's whenever they feel like, whoom, going down the road at 80 miles an hour, that's what they do. So my theory to this is going to be, yeah, when I come over and moan a little bit, I get a cop car in the neighborhood here and there. But my cameras pick them up, so I don't miss nothing. But there's no You know, pull that guy over, pull that guy over. Bust some ass for these speeding tickets. Let them know we're not playing this no more. Or the speed bump's got to come in. The traffic light's got to come in. Some kind of deterrent's got to happen to let everybody know that, hey, something's shaking on El Paso. Something's got to happen. Somebody's going to die on my street. I'm telling you right now. That day at my, in my yard, I knew there was a dead body in the car. I knew there was because I tell you why. There's a boulder in my yard the size of that table. And that's what I thought I heard, was him hitting that rock, and that's why I thought he left. He might have looked over, seen his girlfriend dead in the seat, boom, he gets in the car, he leaves. Thank God there wasn't nobody, I don't want my dead body in my yard. I don't want to deal with that. But luckily that wasn't the case that day. But it's coming to that. I promise you, it's coming to that. With all the kids, the bike traffic, people walking their dogs, the elderly people, somebody's going to die on El Paso. Mark my word to this day, I'm promising you it's going to happen if something don't get done. The property damage is nothing. We can fix it. You can't bring somebody back. You can fix a tire, a car, a house, the ruts in the yard. You know, you can fix all that. When somebody dies, there's no fixing that. Somebody's going to pay a price there. And somebody that's going to pay the price is the person's family that got killed, walking their dog down the street at 7 o'clock at night, minding his business, smoking a cigarette. Bam! This guy's gone.
Well, you reached out to me, Dusty, and so I told you I was going to get to your opportunity to come in and have your
And I'm son. Glad you did.
So, I think you've made a good point. Have you got something else that you need to...
I think I'm good. I will tell you this.
I wish I could give you a resolution right now to what's going to happen, but okay. I can't, but I will get with the chief.
Well, let me say this then. I am in the process now of getting a petition drawn up, not only from my neighbors that have suffered property damage, but any other neighbor in general. And when I explain to them why I want you to sign my petition, it's not just for speed bumps. It's going to be for speed bumps, speed deterrence, more police patrols, maybe some lights on the street. Some enforcement is what we want. Some show of enforcement to where I look out my window and I see this guy blowing by and a cop right on his ass. That's the enforcement I want to see. Something has to happen because somebody's going to die. I'm telling you. Somebody's going to die. It's that simple. There's no other way around it.
So, Chief, if I can, I can't remember, a few meetings back, you gave a report on the speed cameras in that area. Do you recall any of that data?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Can you get it for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
Because I remember 70 mile an hour being said going
down
the
street.
No, that
was Fisher. Mm-hmm. That was Fisher.
Fisher?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you run through mine on my streets, the two that have been on my streets, I can guarantee you'll find several of them above 55 because they're on my cameras. Yeah. So whatever your speed camera picked up, my camera's got two.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Chief.
So El Paso is a problem like so many others. And if the township could help us out with some traffic calming, that would help us to better utilize our resources. And that it would kind of go hand in hand with our enforcement.
It would be gladly appreciated. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come back here in 3 months talking about somebody being killed on El Paso Drive.
Fortunately, we have a lot of the officers at Cruz that are hearing this. And I know I've rode with a lot of the officers, spent a lot of time. And it seems like you go from run to run to run to yeah. run. But to the
you
officers that are here,
proactive.
If you're in that area, you can hear what the neighbors are saying, that we have an issue here. And it's no difference than what we have at time that we hear from Forrest and Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And we've covered that from time to time.
That's where the new stop signs went in, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I've been on that street several times, and I've seen a lot of the blow-by, not really, well, I call them blow-bys.
Yeah.
You pull up to it, you blow through it.
Or
you pull
or don't even stop at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My theory to that should be there should be a flashing light on it, something, a bump, something. Something yeah. that's going to make you stop it.
One of the things that you said about the speed bumps, and I'll just address that. We thought about trying to get those before, and even when I first became a trustee, Mr. Stevens, you want to give that with the county?
Because yeah, I asked about this last
week.
The county engineers, they pretty much steer the townships away from putting in speed bumps. They have their own reasoning for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've even said instead of just a speed bump, the big pumps. And they deter us away from that for whatever reason. Now, whether or not you all can trump
one,
that.
One of the things I checked into is it's unlawful for us to put them in Franklin County. The city of Columbus does it, and they are self-insured. The county will be held liable if someone hits that at 100 mile an hour and kills somebody. You would think that the person driving would be at fault.
But that law should be changed.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's above our pay grade. I agree with you.
In Franklin County, you would be very hard pressed to find a speed, what do they call that? A
speed hump.
I know speed hump, but they have a speed.
Deterrent.
A speed deterrent in Franklin County would be hard. And the other thing that I even thought of, you ever drove over, like, for instance, where they grind out because they're getting ready to dig a line? And they mill it down right there? Yep. So instead of being a hump, a little mill down makes people slow down, and then you're humped.
Not only that, the sound of that.
Yeah.
Your tire's getting that rough sound. Yes.
Exactly.
And if you need any help in this, my son's 15 years in the asphalt business. He knows what he's doing when it comes to asphalt. When it comes to the liability, I don't understand this liability.
Yeah.
One, you're on a 25 mile an hour street. If you're doing 55, 65, 45, I don't care what you're doing, that makes you liable.
Yeah, I brought
that up. So whoever puts the county or the township or the state into that position to where they're liable, that's got to get changed. Because what's going to happen is somebody's going to die. I'm telling you, just as soon as I'm standing here, if it don't happen in the next year, mark my word, I'll give you a $100 bill. Because the way that it's getting and it has gotten in the last seven, there's no other way it can go. Because there's too much traffic on my street, too many people flying down the street that don't care, and that's what's going to happen. There's kids on bikes. Like I said, there's people walking their dogs. There's elderly people down there that can't get out of the way when they see a car coming fast enough. And again, there's no way to go because there's no sidewalk on each side of the street.
Right.
So you're either walking in somebody's grass or you're on the street.
And then
there's barely enough room for like two big trucks to come through El Paso. So if you've got two cars that are coming at each other, you know, one doing 60, one doing 25, that guy doing 60 don't care about that guy coming at him.
He's going to do what
he's
got
to do to get away. Or to get around.
Yeah, backing out of your driveway makes
We have
we've
talked about this and we need to move forward. But we will look into finding a solution.
I appreciate it.
Yep. I'll get back with you, Dusty. Comments.
Okay, we have Tom.
That's me.
Okay.
Thomas. Everybody calls me Dusty.
Okay.
That's what I told you.
I originally told him he had to sign up, but then I decided after the last
Jerry's supposed to go first.
I wanted to put him first.
Jerry, would you like to, your time?
Mine will be very short, because Dusty's he's already got his part proven, okay? So I'm just saying that of course, the chief knows that my truck was hit and over $8,000 damage, but the part was that the lady came down here and apologized, but she never come back to me and apologize. And so my insurance had to cover it. But my point was, she never got reprimanded. I cannot tell you the times my mailbox has been destroyed. Even the license plate, we took a picture of it, gave it to Franklin Township, but nothing happened there. I got nothing. I had to go buy my mailbox and poles and all that put it in. My gas meter was hit in the middle of the night, you know. But the point is, like I agree with Dusty, no one's getting reprimanded or being held accountable for what they're doing. So last night, last night, a motorcycle was going down that street. I can't tell you how. It scared me once or twice. But not before that. Some car was going down my street so fast, it scares me. Zoom, you know? So I don't want to keep repeating what Dusty said, but I'm just saying, I'm asking the trustees, something needs to be done. Because like Dusty says, there's little kids in little bicycles. I'm talking about, 2 years old?
Yes, sir.
Out there playing on our streets.
You know, we never had that 10 years ago.
Huh?
We never had it 10 years ago.
No.
The traffic that we have now.
Now, when you had the speed camera for 2 weeks, it got quiet.
Yep.
Quiet.
I'm finished.
Unfortunately, I would love to be able to. I would love for us to have enough police officers that we could station someone at each end of that. But unfortunately, with our budgets, we don't. And like Mr. Fleshman said, they usually run it from call to call. But we're going to instruct the chief right now is tell all your officers. We got two of them here now. If you have time, we'll call it that's a hot area. Let's cover that area and write. In my opinion, just like I told you on Ray Avenue, pull somebody over on Ray, Write them for everything you can write them for. Don't be nice.
I agree.
I have a question for you. You said something, and it tickled my ear because I know this works. The traffic on my street is the same thing. It's like going to that church. I guess they're running late to church. You got to get your seat before someone else gets it. The church called me up and says, hey, we realize that we have a lot of people speeding on your street. And I'm like, yeah. It's, you know, because same thing. We walk on our street. There's no sidewalks. And this is Lowell Drive. They said, we want to pay for those speed cameras that tell you how fast you're going. I can tell you those work immensely. And, you know, the funny part is kids get out there to see how fast they can run. And I got to admit, I've done it too. But it's hilarious when people are watching, you're like, why are they standing there? My question to the board is, do we have an opportunity, and Jim, do we have where we could do something like that? Find out the price of one of those?
We've got one or two. Why don't we put them
permanently?
We got one. I could work with Jim to get a special pole mounted.
We could take one off the trailer.
Some of the ones on my street are solar, and they just work like it, and they do make a difference.
And there's one on Hague Avenue that's just hanging there.
It tells you the speed, and some people, it's you hold yourself self-accountable when you're driving. You're not looking at your speedometer, and then you, I didn't realize it's on 55 and a 25.
But yeah,
an idea to help try to curve it in between officers trying to get there.
I'd be happy to get it every day there.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Permanent. Mine is permanent in the ground. If we could get one of those permanently,
is that possible?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. We live by the curve. When people are going that fast on the curve, they lose control in our yards because they're right at the curve.
But even if we was to put that sign hypothetically just down from Dusty or somewhere, so as soon as you come out of the curve, you see your speed.
You need it right before the curve.
You're in the city.
I've had two people wreck there. And I went out and asked, can I help you? And I got cussed out, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what the thought is today, but I think you should have it before the curve. The curve is where it's all happening.
Gotcha. So it's an idea.
Let's see if we can get something done.
I'd like to say something. Chief, I'll work with you. I'll drop our speed trailers. We have two of them. I'll drop them on El Paso tomorrow. I just emailed our engineer's contact, and I'm going to ask him to do a speed survey through the engineer's office and do traffic calming.
I will tell you this, because I travel that road quite a bit, going back and forth to my house and my office. I have been passed on that road. I live on Hague. Yeah, okay. I have been passed on that road repeatedly.
I got
you
on my camera.
Yeah. Oh, I know you do. I wave at you usually, but I was passed the other day by a motorcyclist, riding a wheelie as he passed me, and I'm doing 25 and. There is an issue there, but Chief, we've talked about it before, but that would help us, deputy.
I'll work with Chief and Jim, and we can get.
All right, thank you.
285, the little gray house.
Thank you.
Okay, so next we have on the list, Brenda.
Gray for me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. There's three different. Okay, so as you guys are aware, I filed the affidavit to remove our fiscal officer from office. I have been in contact with the auditor's office like four times within. I've talked to Megan, and they're sending it up to legal because of the fact that she has not worked. And today it's 92 days exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's theft in office. If you look at what I handed you, you guys have the right to deem this position vacant after 30 days, after 30 consecutive days under the Fiscal Integrity Act. And I highlighted that on the very last page for you. What are you guys going to do? I mean, you guys are held accountable for this just as well as she is, because you guys are failing to do anything. You know, I know you guys work, you know, and you guys sign the affidavit, but at what point do we just stop and say, hey, enough is enough. She's not getting paid here in 2 weeks. You have that right, according to the Fiscal Integrity Act, because they provide you, all three of you, with the opportunity to deem this position vacant. And another thing, what are you going to do come the end of January when we no longer have Jeff Wilczek to do the budget or anything like that? I mean, it is required by Ohio law for you guys to have a fiscal officer. Currently, we are being held hostage by not only the fiscal officer, but by the trustees, because they're failing to do anything. You know, I know that you guys say, well, we've talked to Julie, we've talked to the prosecutor, all this other stuff, and this has been going on since she was appointed. And you guys appointed her. She wasn't nominated, elected by the residents, but the residents are the ones being failed.
She was elected.
She was elected.
Okay, no, I get that, but you guys initially appointed her, and that is correct.
Okay, so if I can, I'm going to also ask Steve to comment on this. If what we have here, if we can do something, I'm the first to say that we can do it. From my understanding from the prosecutor's office, and I'm going to let Steve, if you can relay and speak on this. If I am missing an opportunity here, I'm going to tell you I'm sorry and the public sorry. But from what I am being told that we as a board can do and where we have to stand down and what we can and can't do, I have been following to a T. So I'll let you speak on it.
Well, Brandon, when all this started, I was in contact with the township's attorney and the prosecutor's office as well. And I'll put it in a nutshell, and then you ask me what any question you want. I brought all this, which you have just expressed, up to the county prosecutor. The demands on a fiscal officer based on the Ohio Revised Code are very minimal. Basically, they ask that they attend one township meeting a quarter, and that they make sure that the financial situation of the township is sound. That's pretty much it. It doesn't mandate that they have to be here a certain amount of days a week. It's very minimal. There's really no hard, fast rules or directives to a fiscal officer. So in dealing with the county prosecutor, I laid all this out to her. And one of the questions they asked was, do you have policies regarding, for example, the misappropriation of taxpayer equipment, computers? I sent them a copy of the employee handbook. Mm-hmm. The next response I got back from the prosecutor was, that handbook doesn't pertain to elected officials. So I had a conversation with our attorney asking just what you mentioned a few minutes ago. Is she absent from office? I was asked by a trustee if I could talk to our attorney. I sent an email yesterday morning. What is her opinion on being absent from office? Are we obligated to pay her? If we don't pay her, what are the repercussions? I'm still waiting for a response. Then to back up my correspondence with the prosecutor, the county prosecutor, she thought it was a good idea that we keep the communication chain open. Paper trail would be best. I have been involved with another trustee coordinating with the fiscal officer, and I guess I should reference this. Based on the advice I'm getting from the township's council, and I spoke at this a couple meetings ago, I am not to be the intermediary in this. I am the township administrator. Right. Mm-hmm. My job is to run the operations for the township for you folks. What the fiscal officer does, it's none of my business. I don't, you know, I can't intercede there. So, we have a paper trail now of text messages that I have been involved with and the trustees have been involved with, asking the fiscal officer to come back and sit with the trustees. We will do what we can, and I'm saying we will do what we can to get her what she needs to do her job. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to connect. I think the trustees have expressed, we have a UAN computer. UAN computer, folks, is how the fiscal officer does her work as mandated by the auditor of state. We have offered, we will get you this computer. You don't have to work from here. We can set it up in your home, and you can fulfill your obligations as a fiscal officer. That has fallen on deaf ears. So, yes, and please stop me, trustees, if I'm putting words in your mouth.
No, you're fine.
We are bending over backwards to try and accommodate the wishes of the fiscal officer and fulfill what is mandated by the ORC and the auditor of state. And I'm probably saying too much, but we are operating, as you know, without a fiscal officer.
Correct.
I have been told by the auditor of state that I am out of compliance with the regulations of the auditor of state because we are operating this township without a fiscal officer. To be honest, I don't care. I have an obligation to you folks. We're fulfilling that obligation. If the auditor wants to come in and reprimand me or whomever because I'm fulfilling the wishes of the residents, I can't stop that. I just think it's very unfortunate, and I'll stop. I just think it's very unfortunate that we have a fiscal officer who has put the residents in jeopardy, put the staff members in jeopardy for whatever reasons. But I can promise you, you're learning, the wheels of politics and justice just grind and grind and grind.
Yep.
But we're doing everything that we're being asked by the prosecutor and our attorney.
This is my thing, okay? The Fiscal Integrity Act clearly states that it provides you guys the right to say that this position is vacant and then appoint another fiscal officer. So, and I know that it's going to be hard to find a fiscal officer, but why should we be paying someone? I mean, we shouldn't be paying anyone to do the job that they're not doing.
So, Brenda, I couldn't agree with you more. And what is said on this piece of paper, I agree 100% with you. But as trustees, we can't magically just say we're going to do this. It has to go through the prosecutor's office, and we have to, in which we are basically saying exactly what this says to the prosecutor's office. They're the ones that would have to remove her from office, then we can appoint someone.
Okay.
Quick question.
There's no questions on the floor right now.
Okay, so the thing is, though, why can't we just cut her pay, suffer the consequences, let her decide that she's going to get an attorney and fight it?
Because then the township itself can be held liable and sued, and then we take taxpayers' dollars.
Well, it's already taken our taxpayer dollars.
But which is going to be worse? Paying her that's in the budget until we can let it work itself out, meaning that there is an X date, or do we cut her pay and then we end up paying her again, plus the attorney fees, plus what she sues us for?
Like Mr. Mazur said, and I know that it's not the answer that you want, but we're doing everything in our power.
Well, I'm getting ready to file another affidavit.
And I'd be the first to sign it.
And I just need actual proof that she has not showed up.
We'll give you file, and if you come in here and you file for...
I already requested the information.
And we get that. That you will make sure you get everything you need. Just sign and get.
Well, I hope that we can resolve this quickly because we need someone that is going to take care of the township.
And I can tell you, we need someone that can take care of this township. We owe a debt of gratitude to this man right here. Without him, we would have failed. Oh, we would have folded.
Yeah.
With him doing the research and everything that he's done and finally standing up and saying, okay, put me in jail. We got a township to keep moving forward. We got employees that we got to pay. And he's advised us on which way that we could do this, which, okay, here is what's amazing to me. We're being told you're out of line doing it the way you're doing it. Then do something so we're in line. So what are they going to do? Are they going to do something to Steve or are they going to do something to the fiscal officer? Who are you going to go after first? But well, we have to make sure that this township runs.
Like I said, I explained all that to the auditor's office. It was either yesterday or the day before yesterday. I think it was the day before yesterday. And, you know, she says that they're sending it up to legal and they're actually adding the theft in office to the charges.
Before Brenda sits down, I just want to tell you that as of yesterday, I was the trustee that instructed Mr. Mazur to turn that over to our legal team to find out if this could be taken care of or not legally. And I have reached out to Ms. Justice in two separate occasions, and she refuses to acknowledge that I send her things. So that tells, and I have both those dates, I have it on my phone, she doesn't acknowledge it. So I am trying to do something about it.
And he has all of us.
And I copy everybody on.
Okay.
So to say we're not doing nothing, but we are.
You know what I'm saying. It
I know what you said, but we are.
It's just that something, it shouldn't have went on this long. That's it.
And I agree that it shouldn't go on this long, but then again, we're doing everything that we can. We've turned every stone over and used everything that we have in our power. We have no other power. She's an elected official,
yep.
And we are told stand down. So we are but we don't. We continue, obviously, to move forward than just to stand down. But I understand your frustration.
Yep.
What are you going to do when she doesn't show up next month?
The same thing we're doing now, on the phones and adding it to the list.
Because that'll be the end of the quarter.
I understand. Okay, next we have on the list...
Does Chief have stats?
Cindy Klein.
Hello, gents.
I'm got a question. I kind of got aggravated at the election. You talk to us as township residents with regard to home rule, and the township told you resoundingly no. My question is, I know this has been done 3 or 4 times, what does it cost us as a township to put something on the ballot? Because obviously, it didn't go. I knew it wasn't going to from the get-go. We told you months ago. But yet, whatever the cost is to put it on the ballot, you did it anyhow. And as far as I'm concerned, that's rather theft from me as a resident. Because we told you no, we didn't want it, you spent the money anyhow. And in doing so, I sincerely am of a mind that the fire levy that our guys desperately need was shot down because of the action on the home rule. And it truly, truly hurts my heart. I see these guys, I hear them, I can tell you what piece of equipment it is that's going down my road. And we're screwed on the fire department, but we spent money on home rule anyway. So that's my 2 cents worth, gents, because it was poorly spent money.
Well, I looked into it, and you can't get the amount until after the election. So I believe the amount should be able to be found now on what that cost Franklin Township to put that on the ballot.
It usually takes about 60 days to get all that money figured out.
I think the figure is going to be out there, and we should be known.
Well, and I think we, you know, need to find a means to recoup that or reconsider the expenses.
So this was the second time it's ever been on the ballot.
Okay.
The first time that it went on the ballot, I can't remember what the numbers was. It did fail. I have not seen the numbers, and it's just because I haven't had a chance. I've been focusing on the what the fire department was totally, if you take out Valley View's, around 90 votes that would have made the fail or not pass. But home rule, saying that we should never put something on the ballot and et cetera because they resoundingly say that we don't want it. When there is a need for something in this township, the same as if there's a need for a levy because we have a levy coming up, the time levy for the fire department, et cetera, we have a duty as board members to put something on there to allow the public to vote on it, to keep it from the public because certain people feel it shouldn't go on. Mm-hmm. Other people feel our job is to put it on there and let the public decide what they want. Okay. For us to withhold something when there's a need for it, that would be wrong for us to do.
Well, why haven't we just gone into a Jed situation and it would really create a whole new set of funds and it wouldn't be relying totally on residents, property taxes, et cetera, et cetera.
We have for the last 3 years and longer than that, but I know for the last 3 years, Steve Mazur and I have worked diligently on the Jed. And there needs to be some changes in the Jed language at the Ohio Revised, at the State House level, because it's
we're at a standstill.
Yeah, we're at a standstill with it.
But we have businesses been digitally
don't
working
businesses
on that.
Don't want to pay the additional tax on their net income. What it boils down to, which I can't really blame them.
If I can do it of my own volition, because I am a commercial property, by golly, I'm gonna.
Well,
we can have multiple. A lot of times people think, well, Jed, either you get this area and you're done. You can do one Jed, you can do 100 Jeds. It doesn't matter. You can do a Jed at a time.
But the days of the Jed, the old Jed Z, what was that, 2015?
It's been out.
2012, I think.
Yeah,
it's been out. The Jed Z, those days are gone.
Well, I understand that.
Putting them out and just making it mandatory, now everything has to be a process.
And a Jed nowadays can be recalled by the body of the people. If you put a Jed on an area and say you said no for your business and the majority of the people said yes, you still can be recalled. And now there's so many new languages.
Yep.
Every time we go to turn the Jed in, it's all of a sudden, it's like a teacher saying, well, you didn't put your name on it. Well, now there's new things. We can never get to the point where we can say okay because we keep having stumbling blocks to get it on. We originally started this Jed 10 years ago, and we had it all done, ready to go, turned it in, and the city of Columbus said no. We're like, wait a minute, you told us we could have a Jed with you. They said, we told you you could have it with us. We didn't tell you we were going to say yes. So we wasted a lot of time and energy putting that together. So we had to find a new dance partner that wanted to coincide with us because you have to have another entity. So going back out, finding someone that wants to work with us, we looked at Grandview, different places, and it takes years to get a Jed put together.
Well, as a private business owner, I am going to investigate that opportunity.
That'd be great.
My own business, because by golly, I understand what our taxes pay for. I thoroughly comprehend.
Sure.
However, if business owners were aware of the fact that this can be done of their own volition and not have to go as a community township scenario, then it may start a ball rolling.
You have to have, what is those numbers you have to have business-wise in the area to do a Jed?
Well, you can do like a pie. You can take a section here and start a Jed.
Right.
And then,
but it can't be one individual business owner. It'd have to be like all the business owners in a certain square footage.
And you,
there are those.
Yes. So another thing that you'll look at, you're saying you would love to have a jet. One of the things that changed is having a water district or sewer district and the draw-ups and et cetera. One of the reasons that I wanted, and if you look into this, you'll understand, by having limited home rule gives you the ability to do some of those things that you can't do as a regular township. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will say, well, if your gutters are hanging down and you can't do this.
Yeah, that's an HOA crap.
Right. What limited home rule was going to do for us was give us more toolboxes,
more tools
in the toolbox to be able to, like, say, Westland Mall area and et cetera. Things to be able to keep the stuff in the township by having some extra areas that we have not been able to do before. So me personally, as a trustee, that's what I was looking at. How could township benefit by having limited home rule? And that was one of them. But a lot of people don't see that. But when you start looking into this, I know you're very diligent in what you do. You'll understand what home rule allows you to do and how that helps you if you're limited home rule. It gets some of the hurdles out of your way.
Yeah, I get that. And my background in construction and all of that
stuff,
decades, really, I've got a better picture than most do.
Gotcha.
I think we've answered your question, and we appreciate it.
And that's all we have, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
Okay. Moving on. Mr. Smith, you're back up. I didn't realize until just now that you, when I was looking at the agenda, you didn't give us your police stats, but your gentleman left.
It's all right. I got much more than just that. Let's see here. So I want to address El Paso first. So I'm going to get with Jim. We do have the speed device that we can put up there. We'll just alternate the batteries. We'll just have to have Jim put a pole in for me, the speed limit sign on it, and then I'll mount the device underneath that sign, and it'll be permanent, Jim.
Sure.
You and I can go and figure out where to put that. So that should help. I'm still a fan of speed bumps, because
I think they were in the last meeting.
They work.
They work.
They do work. You know, I certainly slow down if I come up to one. So
can we take a look at this and get a definite what happens if we put them in?
Sure.
Okay.
Talk to the engineer's office. If the board will send a letter to Engineer Foster and request on behalf of the board to do a survey of that, they will conduct that.
And then if we could be awarded the ability to put those in,
they will let you know after the survey.
That'd be perfect. Thank you.
I'll send you the information about special lighting district for that area. If the residents do want it and the board signs off, they can install the lights up there and act that as a special lighting district.
That would be perfect.
Deputy Atkins, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You ain't going nowhere now. You realize you're stuck in this.
We're not going to let you leave.
So we have an officer going out for hip surgery next week. He will be off 2 to 3 months. I'll be moving number 13.
It's not one that just came back, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's not work related. So I'll be moving someone from second back down to first. So that is going to delay our traffic car situation for at least a couple of months. Tenant is therapy is scheduled up until the beginning of the year. Apparently it's a long, tedious process, so just as an update for that. Check this
before you get too far down, does with the officer going out, just just advising you to remind you, make sure all his paperwork for his time off is is in. To,
yeah.
Okay.
Do we have anything left in the grant money that we got for officer for speed control?
The grant's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if we do receive that again, if this area could be one of the first number one priorities.
Well, we're going to also try to step up enforcement, as we can mix it in with
everything
all
else,
the other complaints too.
All the other priority one runs.
Yeah, and you know, other traffic issues. So retired Chief Castle, his funeral was last Friday. It was an excellent turnout. The county really helped us out. They sent about 6 cars. We had the a couple city cars and all their motorcycles. Then we had three cars, so it was a really, really good turnout. The family was really happy. You know, the fire department was there, an engine, medic, fire chief. So everybody kind of came together and paid their respects. So it was really nice. I'll start at the top. So 50 Volney, I had some conversations with Mike about lot 15. I called her again this morning. She hasn't answered the phone. There's no voicemail. She's answered it for me before, so I'm assuming she just wasn't on. I called her last night too, so I will.
This is the trailer court, correct?
The trailer court.
I got it on my, okay.
To see if she, at the very least, is going to board it up. Preferably, she's supposed to be working with either a scrapper or a scrapping company to remove the trailer altogether, which is the goal.
That's the one that had the body in it?
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
And also, I don't know if I pointed it out the last meeting, but I think we found out, I mean, I've remembered it since, that's the same lot that they found body in the back of the car.
Oh,
correct,
Bob? Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, same place.
That's right.
So this is a nuisance. We have to get something done about this trailer court.
Yeah.
This lady, like we, Steve said for home rule that he had the tools in his box to do things, so we want to get some of those tools out, sir, and start using them on this trailer court. This is a, you know, sure. We've had two or three bodies now turn up in this trailer court in the last year.
So we had three other addresses I was looking at. 61 Florence, I'll start with that one. The owner of the property is an LLC in Las Vegas. That's the one that's boarded up.
Okay.
And probably has a homeless population living in back. So we can send them a letter to start with, just to start the paper trail. If I can find a phone number, I will try to reach out to them directly.
We're going the nuisance property route?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The other two, 67 and 71.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, because I pulled both, all three of them. 67 is also owned by an LLC out of Hollywood, Florida. So I didn't see a lot of trash, but it appears, I can't tell if it's vacant or not. I mean, there's a car, but it looks like the car hadn't been moved in a while. So I can give them a letter.
You talk about Boldy.
Florence.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Chief.
Does your records indicate when you look this back up where Freddie had taken and Officer Kidwell had taken those pictures? Mm-hmm. Are these some of those same properties? Or do you remember
the ones from the alley?
Yeah, I took, I sent them from the alley side and they walked on in and took those pictures of all that filth and everything.
I believe in the area 67 Florence was one that there was a lot of trash in the alley.
Okay.
I think so.
Did I fail to give you 55 Florence?
You said the rear of 55?
Okay. My notes are sketchy. I was doing it on the fly.
I didn't pull that one yet.
Okay.
That one looked like it was lived in.
Okay.
71 Florence.
Yes.
Appears to be owner occupied.
Okay.
I didn't see a lot of trash or anything in the backyard. I mean, it looks like Jim has recently went through the alley. Although I got some new scratches on my car. So the first two, we can certainly start the process with the letter.
Okay, appreciate it. I appreciate you getting back to me.
Next on the list. So Chippewa School. So John forwarded me a letter from Tim Guyton. Some of it I can't do anything about because I don't control the apartment complex. Or
correct.
Kids walking down the street. So Tuesday I had Officer Kidwell out there at 1:40. There were two cars that had backed up onto Hague Avenue at 2:07. After I left here, I got there at 2:25. There was no traffic impediment going northbound. There were cars turning left, but it wasn't restricting traffic. And there might have been seven or eight cars coming south waiting in traffic. So there was a traffic delay of about 10 to 13 minutes. By 2:28, there wasn't any backup on Haig Avenue whatsoever. I did notice that the gates were not shut to the school, so they were letting in some cars. The next day, we shut off Chippewa, let people know you can't park here, so they decided to stop on Haig Avenue, which we can't control both at the same time. So it doubled the backup on Haig. So that's not the best idea. So bottom line, at this point in time, your backup is about 10 to 13 minutes. And it's more restrictive coming south than it is north.
But that's a plus now.
It is a plus. And I don't, honestly, I mean, for a school that doesn't have a lot of buses, and you have all these parents having to pick their kids up, I don't really know what you want me to do.
So it has vastly improved from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And years past.
It's been a lot worse.
Yes.
It's been a lot worse.
I to get to my office, I either go down their street or I come down Haig Avenue, and it hasn't been.
Right.
It hasn't been an issue.
Emergency traffic could get up both directions.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go into oncoming traffic side anyway. So it is a nuisance. I agree with Tim. I will say that when they do have those apartments built, that road is not wide enough to handle that increased traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a nightmare for anybody in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we all know that. There's not a lot I can do.
So, Chief, the reason that I sent that email, it was not all factual. It was how someone perceived what was said in the meeting that I stood up and spoke.
Right.
And exactly what the point that I was making to the commissioners for the South Scioto Commission, mm-hmm. was we've done everything that we can do. We've written tickets. We've done cars up there, as you say, you block off in this. We've had meetings with the schools. I've been there at the meetings. You've been there at the meetings. And basically it comes down to that the school does not want to spend any money or redo their parking lot to where you can have everything in one area. The other thing that I stated in there to the apartments that are going to be built, they're going to be built probably rather, you know, we are trying to minimize what they're doing. I go to these meetings. I don't know how the final vote's going to come out. But one of the things that I did speak up and people agreed with me, everyone in the room would be on the side of the developer if the developer would put pressure on the city to say, this place is making a problem. And the city is like, you know, the roads that we just have the school in our district. Sorry that the roads get backed up. The city doesn't want to do anything. My point was, if development in that area would put pressure on the city where the stuff is being annexed, saying, hey, you're creating a problem in the county. Now, also in that email, was that we should be putting pressure on the county, Brad Foster, and that, you know, you need to put the turn lanes and everything else, you need to widen it. I think we all agree it needs to be widening.
Mm-hmm.
But as a township, as a board of directors of the township, we can ask. I don't understand what pressure they're talking about that we could do to make them do something. We don't have anything that we can say, you must do this, other than they have come to the meetings, they've sat out there, they're very aware of what's going on. And I think that was disingenuous with what I read in that email, that I understand the frustration if you live there, but they need to look out also outside their window of what we have been able to do. Because I have seen personally, and I think I still have it on video, of that individual driving through 2 yards to get to his yard. I'm sitting at the church.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have met with the county. The county's done a traffic survey.
Yeah.
When we requested a red light there or a school light, whatever. And they determined that it would cause more backup on Haig. We suggested turn lanes, which would certainly mitigate the issues with the school. I get it, it all costs money, but I think with all the growth in that area, something, you know, the road needs to be redone to accommodate that before it becomes a nightmare.
You're looking at 450 people in the one section. 480 in the one midways on Hague. Trebue and Hague is going to
375.
370. I didn't know if they reduced that or not.
Not yet.
375. And then also if you look at where the on Trebue, where it's growing this way, and you have the old car wash and that, you're going to have those. And people think, well, that's not on Hague, but how do you get to the freeway? Straight down Hague Avenue.
Right. Yeah.
And then, so, I hate to say, Dusty, but some of the traffic cutting through, GPS is, hey, you can cut over here, because if you take Hague, you can only go east on 70.
That's the majority of the problem we have. It's not the people that live on the street, they know it's 25.
Yeah. So people that want to go, people that want to go west have to come either Fisher Road and or cut through your area and then get on the freeway.
Yeah, but it's yeah. They're going to put a roundabout at Hague.
Well, that'll give us 3 months of relief anyway.
Yeah.
We're at the bright side.
Yeah.
So I know Deputy Atkins has already talked about Ray Avenue. Those are some pictures that Officer Hale took yesterday. And he has pretty similar pictures on the phone. So it is a mess. We're going to work with him and do everything we can.
Got a church going on or something.
The thing that amazes me the most, and I've seen some of these in our areas, the camps, how much work it takes to have to, you had to carry that much stuff into that area.
It's over time.
Yeah, but that's a lot of carrying. Yeah. That's just amazing to me.
Have you looked at your house?
My house?
You carry a lot of stuff into your house.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like this. Groceries go in and they go out as trash.
Yeah, they just don't have trash service.
Right. Well, maybe you could get with local waste and put a dumpster out there.
And then, Chief, I had a question.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And how are we doing on, I'm just making some notes, how are we doing with the median people? You know, we've got Wilson and Broad. Yes, thank you. The Wilson and Broad and Philippi. I don't know if we can do anything at 70 and Wilson. It's not so much that they're at the side of the road, but the ones that are getting in the medium itself,
right?
The danger to the people.
Roger takes one to jail every day he comes to work.
Okay.
I seen him out there a couple of days ago. He had one.
That's my goal, is if eventually they'll move on to, let's hypothetically, another township down the road or into the city where they may not be left alone.
Apparently that's kind of a sweet spot in that corridor for them.
It's a moneymaker.
It's the cost of doing business, not to be funny, but it is. But, I mean,
the ones at Wilson, if they just walk,
yeah, we do 100 feet east. Try to,
yeah, because like if you're going eastbound on Wilson and you go eastbound on 70, they get in that, and I don't know how they don't get hit by semis that are turning to get on. They're in the middle.
I know the semis
in between.
So we have the stats. Or, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good. Okay. You're good. I think I said enough.
Calls for service for October. 1,155. We had 13 assist other units, 10 burglaries, 1 bad check. It wasn't here. 99 crashes, 2 robberies, 43 domestics, 10 alcohol-related incidents, 9 fights, 41 thefts, 5 persons with a gun, 15 shots fired in the area, 18 stolen vehicles, 5 recovered vehicles, 5 suicide attempts, 7 vandalisms, 14 threats, 72 alarm drops, 1 sex offense, 5 overdoses, 197 suspicious persons and or vehicles, 141 traffic stops, 103 citations issued, which also include arrest, 69 vehicles and property impounded, and 76 reports taken. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Mm-hmm. Normal month.
Normal month. I got it on my list, Mike. Do we want to talk about the Brown's Tires plaque? Or would you do?
I do. Okay. I have it here. So, gentlemen, here's the two different designs. I'd like you to pick one of the two if you're okay with it. The verbiage is the same. The only difference would be the top half, and we can get this taken care of. You're good with that? So is the board okay? The chief is a very, we can just get rid of that one. The chief is a busy man right now and everything, so at this point, Steve, would it be okay if we asked Nicole to run with this and go down to the paper where we're going to purchase it from and have this made up?
Absolutely.
I'll work with her on it, but I mean, are you good with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll get with her after the meeting then. Thank you, sir. Thanks for reminding me. I'd rather get it out while
Chief
you're
Arnold?
There. Right. Thanks for all the legwork on it and everything like that.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'll do my best.
These branches on your
car. Good afternoon. I stay out of the alleys if I can. Run stats for November, 903 total runs, 134 were in the township, 31 fires, 7 building fires, 680 EMS calls.
Busy month. That's about par, isn't it?
It's about par. A little light.
Yeah, but you got Christmas. November, you're going to catch up because
the flu is here.
October.
I would like to express the board's appreciation for all the work that the men have done on their own time, campaigning on behalf of the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, for the necessity of having a levy pass. Yeah.
And it was a pleasure getting out and working with them, knocking door to door with them to,
for sure,
on their off time.
It's definitely a disappointment. And just so the community is aware, I've had 4 departments call me already because they know Franklin firefighters are the best and they're ready to start pulling.
You know, you say that, and it's not a joke. I travel all over the state, and everyone talks about Franklin Township firefighters, and they're known clear up in Delaware County.
Every time we put out a fire that others can't, like I put on Facebook, it won't be long now. That fire burnt for how long before we got there?
For sure.
And the specialty that we have in the foam that other people don't do.
All the way to Benton County.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to ask your permission to work with Nicole, so as brownouts come, when staffing is unavailable for both stations, all 4 trucks, the best way to communicate that to the public, so if they're aware, if they're waiting 10 minutes after they call 911, this is probably why. But I'm sure the union will post, but I can't control what they post, so...
No, that's definitely something that needs to be on our website and our Facebook page.
I mean, it's going to be day to day hit and miss for the time being. So.
And how many people would you estimate that may go to greener pastures because they have families, they can't wait to get laid off because our funding is running out?
Basically, the funding we have for one station is 23 is a number, so 16 will probably move on.
Okay.
And I will try to delay it, but it's hard when they're throwing $100,000 at these guys.
Right. Everybody right now is, I can remember years ago, it was very hard. And when I was a young man and I got into fire service, you had to be pretty good or know somebody to get on. It was not what you know, who you know, family. Yeah. And it was hard to get that first place. Right now, they're hoping someone. How many applications you got in your desk?
0.
They're hard to find. The demand's so high.
There's a lot of locals that are expanding theirs. Tough job, sir, but we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Steve, I saw there was one.
I have a resolution for you. Do you want to help?
Can I ask a question?
Mr. Chairman, I know sometimes the public likes to have a question. At the end of the, before we adjourn, can we give some of the question, give an opportunity to the audience to ask a few questions while people are here?
Yeah, at the end of Steve's turn, or
after number eight.
Yeah.
They can have my time. Yes, Chief.
We'll get to these questions.
I do have a resolution for you. It's resolution 2024-184. It's a resolution approving the appropriation of ARPA funds for the purchase of radios for the Franklin Township Fire Department. Be resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves and authorizes the appropriation of ARPA funds not to exceed $40,000 specific to the purchase of radios for the Franklin Township Fire Department. Be it further resolved that all formal actions in this board concerning and relating to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that resulted in such formal action were in a meeting open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Hearing the second, I would ask for any discussion.
Yes.
Okay.
So on this, on these radios, I know in the past we went through radios, and I recall that we got radios, and then all of a sudden we found out we're going digital, and then what we had is not compatible. We fortunately were able to other departments, different places, so we recouped some of that. What is the longevity of these radios? Do they expect any type of change in communications and what it's required for us to be able to communicate?
As long as it's taken them to enforce this layer of security that they're doing, I can't see them coming up with anything in the next 10 years that's
okay.
going to be.
Okay.
We should be able to get 10 years.
Sure.
Out.
Sure.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, I would ask for a vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
And Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Are you guys making their tour through to get the signs picked up, or?
Hit and miss. Apparently,
I've got some to bring in.
Trustee Leeser's covered, so.
I got the small one across the street. I got that one, but
they should be out today to get it.
I have some sitting on my porch.
I'd rather be my yard.
There's like five.
Three or four here on Frank, or there's at least three on Brown.
I think you can pass their licking their rooms.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather the sign be in my yard than the big sign than someone else's. So. All right, thank you, Bob. Road Department.
I do want to talk about that. No hurry, though.
No.
What
was
that resolution? Whatever, buddy.
Well, I've got stats. I was able to get put together for me today for last month. Took 31 loads of brush. Been doing signage repair throughout the township. Kind of got a little bit of an issue going on with that. We're actually having street signs being stolen.
Wonderful.
So we're looking at, and we've reached out to Paul Peterson, we're looking to get some anti-theft bolts, special bolts to keep that from happening. Wow. I've actually taken some of these signs, and we're taking JB Weld and kind of running the nuts down on them. Going to make it hard for us if we have to do some work on it later on down the road, but I just want to bring it to your attention. We are having some street signs being stolen. Mowed township properties, town cemeteries, right-of-ways, money back, Rosedale. Installed a ballards around a propane tank and air conditioning unit on the backside of our maintenance shop. I could summarize about five of these by saying we did all the work back here on the backside of the maintenance shop, removing trees, 153-ton of gravel spread, repaired catch basin up on Nixon Drive, took out the island out here in the parking lot, repaired that, put asphalt down, prepped the trucks for leaf boxes, started leaf collection. He did not put in here how many loads we've already gotten so far, but we've gotten quite a bit. Hauled 6 loads of debris to COC, replaced the lights and everything that was in here. Picked up, I think, 4 loads of illegally dumped trash. That pretty much summarizes it. We spent a lot of time getting some other things done. We did pick up the Christmas tree. We have the Christmas tree to put out here. When I had the property oopsed, where we talked about putting it literally right in front of your modular, that's not going to work.
Okay.
Because there is fiber optics and high pressure or high power lines going through there. So we're going to have to put it on this side of the modular and that other mode area out there. We've got that already used and got it figured out, you know, where we're going to put it there.
Okay.
We can run an extension cord over to the front of the modular to get power for the lights. So we should be fine there. Little bit of a building update. The committee, I feel, has done a great job getting this all put together. We met the other day. I don't know how much you want me to talk about it or let you talk about it. We met with the contractor. The committee picked a contractor based off of the quotes that we got to actually build the building when the time comes. We had our architect in here. We had the contractor in here. The committee was in here. Ryan, myself, Mr. Mazur. Had a really good meeting trying to come up with a timeline for all of this, and it looks like we will be starting possibly the first part of March on getting everything done just because of the company. We have to fit it into their schedule. We can't tell them this is when we want to have this thing built, so we've got to work it into their schedule, which in all honesty works a little bit better for us because that way we're not trying to scramble, trying to find some place. We tear that building down over the winter, we still have to have a place to put our equipment on the inside. So it's going to kind of help us, you know, since we're getting into this so late into this year, it's going to help us out a lot just by getting into around March. I'll let Steve go ahead and take care of the rest of that when it comes up about, you want to mention the contractor that we got?
Yeah, I want to get all that information together and get it to all the trustees so they can review it and so they know exactly what we're looking at, because they're going to have to approve it when it's all said and done once we get the contract. So.
Well, we're getting all of our bids in. We've sent out a lot of information, getting a lot of bids back in. That way we got multiple bids on electrical, plumbing, everything. So the committee will be able to go through all that. I think they've done a great job on research and everything. But that's pretty much all I have.
You guys have anything for him?
Yeah, can I give you 2 street signs? You probably, I heard you say it, but just so you'll know, Coolidge and Broad, is that one on your list by chance?
I think so.
And then Cyril's and 3C.
That's a hot topic right now. We actually had to, we didn't have a new Cyril sign, so we had to go to Paul Peterson and get one made. And I have Quentin checking on the sign every day because I've got 3 gentlemen calling me about every day about that sign.
Well, people, it's hard for people to find that one because of when you come in off of Rosemont, you see it's not marked. You can only get it.
We didn't have a backup one in here, so we had to get one ordered.
And then the last thing is the white lines over in Broad Lawn when they did the paving. When will the white lines go in?
I got to check with the county on that because they're supposed to be coming back in and putting the white edge lines back on the roadway.
That's what. So they're referring to them. They are referring to them as parking lines, but I know that's really, they just use them as parking lines, but they were curious when those were going
to
be in.
Yeah, we had to put those in years ago just because we had people parking outside the gravel and out onto the road. But no, that's, I'll get back in touch with the county and see where we're at with that.
And then are you out of here? After this, or are you still staying? I didn't know if you had a project you were leaving.
I'm fine.
Can I see you right after this meeting to show you something?
Sure.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all I got, sir.
You have anything?
I thought, wow, we jumped down to number 7 already.
No, we still got Mr. Okay.
No, I think we're good.
Thank you. Mr. Mazur.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have some motions here for bills and payroll. The first one is a motion to approve accounts payable presented on November 14, 2024. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board makes a motion to approve accounts payable from November 1, 2024 through November 12, 2024 in the amount of $39,452.66. from ACH voucher numbers 2090-2024 through 2207-2024. And I have the information attached for your review.
So moved as a resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Terrific. The next is a motion to approve payroll as written. Again, presented on November 14, 2024. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to approve the trustees and fiscal officer wages earned for the month of October 2024 in the gross amount of $9,163.24 with an ACH deposit of funds on November 1, 2024. The board also approves the staff payroll for the period from October 20th, 24 to November 2nd, 2024. ACH direct deposits of funds made on November 8th via electronic vouchers 2085-2024 through 2209-2024. And again, I have an exhibit attached for your review.
I have reviewed it and I will make a motion. We accept the motion as written. Ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'd ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
And that, gentlemen, is all I have for you regarding the fiscal department.
Okay. Moving on to your other hat, administrator's duties.
You good, John?
No, yeah, you're good. I was okay. Just looking at it. Okay. I was just kind of...
Next resolution I have is 2024-186. It's a resolution approving the appropriation of ARPA funds for architectural expenses related to the construction of the new road department building. Be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves and authorizes the appropriation of ARPA funds not to exceed $10,000. Specific to the architectural services provided by Ronald J. Gajak and Associates Incorporated for the new road department building. Be it further resolved that all formal actions of this board concerning and relating this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were in a meeting open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Next, I have resolution 2024-187. It's a resolution approving the obligations approved by the township administrator between November 1, 2024 and November 12, 2024. Whereas the Board of Trustees in resolution 2021-130 authorized the township administrator to approve and incur obligations of $10,000 or less on behalf of the township in accordance with section 507.11 of the ORC. Whereas pursuant to the provisions of section 507.11A of the ORC, the obligations approved and incurred by the township administrator must be subsequently approved by the adoption of a formal resolution of the Board of Trustees. The obligations incurred by the township administrator are included in Exhibit A that attaches to the document. All formal actions of this board concerning and relating to the adoption of this resolution, they were passed in an open meeting of this board, and all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in formal action were in meetings open to the public in compliance with section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I would ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Next is Resolution 2024-188. It's a resolution to provide supplemental appropriation number 14 for the period commencing January 1, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. It is necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, during the year December 31, 2024. And whereas the annual appropriations resolution 2023-270 for the period from January 1, 2024 through December 31st, 2024 needs amended. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the sums presented in Exhibit A, again attached, and the same are hereby set aside and appropriated for several purposes for which expenditures are to be made for and during the year ending December 31, 2024. All formal actions of this board concerning and relating to the adoption of this resolution were passed in an open meeting. All deliberations of the board and its committees that result in such formal action were in meetings open to the public, and in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the ORC, this resolution shall be declared an emergency and shall be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I'd ask for a second.
I'll second.
In discussion, that is moving money back or moving it away?
It's actually moving the $40,000 in the ARPA fund to supplement the new fire department radios.
Okay. I was just reading the appropriations, the attachment. It just, I was confused, so I apologize. Any more discussions?
That helped. Okay. Yep.
Hearing no more discussion, I would ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
All right, I'll do this last resolution first. This is Resolution 2024-189. It's a resolution authorizing transfer of funds to the EMS Vehicle Replacement Fund. The Board of Trustees created the EMS Vehicle Replacement Fund under Section 5705.13C to accumulate resources for the acquisition of a new EMS vehicle. Funds were appropriated in 2023 but not transferred, and whereas funds appropriated in the 2024 annual appropriations resolution for the annual set aside in 2024, now therefore be resolved by the Board of Township Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, the authorized personnel is approved to transfer $130,000 from the Ambulance and Emergency Medical Services Fund to the EMS Vehicle Replacement Fund, representing the amount that was planned for transfer in 2023 upon the reappropriation. All formal actions in this board concerning and related to the adoption of this resolution were passed in an open meeting of this board. All deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal actions were in meetings open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'd ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. Anything else for us?
A couple more things. Well, we actually had a discussion when Jim did his building update about about the contract we're about to enter in with a company called Pickwell Lumber. I will make sure the board gets all this documentation we have concerning the contract, the quotes that we have to date. There's even a color swatch that we can agree upon. Hopefully that'll be an easy process.
Don't bank on it.
Then the last thing is, and I'm glad Mr. Blevins reminded me of this, we have the OTA conference coming up the latter part of January. So as members, each registration fee for us is $130 a person. So I just want you to know, I think it's the 20, so last week in January, 25. So it runs a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I just wanted to remind everybody that that's coming up.
Yep.
And other than that, I don't have anything else for you.
Okay. I don't have anything. Go ahead, John.
I wanted to give a little update onto the board on El Paso Drive that runs east and west along 70 at the Wilson Road exit. The homeless have been moved out of there. Contractor came in maybe a week and a half ago and just completely obliterated, they cut everything out. I mean, there used to be, you drive by there now, it's like it was in the 70s when the fence went up, other than some small stuff in the fence. We're looking at the budget. It appears possibly a wall will go down through there for the sound for the people that are on the El Paso side. I don't know how far down, if it'll go down to the church or not.
That's not our budget you're talking about.
Correct, then. Correct. That's
ODOT's. I just wanted to make sure that was...
Yes, yes. That's going to be a lot of money for one of those walls. So I've been in contact with ODOT on this, and they're going to get back to me as what the budget committee says for the first of the year, if they will put this sound wall up. It makes a difference for the residents that live. I mean, the freeway is 40 feet, the entrance ramp, 40 feet from your front door. And now that they took out all the vegetation, why they did that, I don't know. But I mean, there was full grown trees.
You asked them to.
Not that. But now, you know, people get off the freeway, the lights are directly in their front door, and the semis that want to line up along the side. It's just the sound, a deafening wall would be nice. So I'll let you guys know what happens with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so real quick, I've got a couple things. I touched base with the people at Franklin Heights High School for the scholarship fund, just to make sure that they're on board for this year and starting to get the ball rolling there, because right after they come back from Christmas break is when that all starts to develop and everything. I just wanted to keep the board up to date on that. And then, Jim, at one point in time, I'm kind of iffy about this. You were talking about some candy for the Christmas
party. Yeah, I'm working on getting some candy.
I'm
still working on that.
Okay, yes. Perfect.
The parade is on what day again?
14th.
Yes. On the December.
Yeah, we're going to kick off from here at noon, correct? Yes. And then the last thing I would have is we're going to be back out here this Saturday from 9 to 11 for pictures with Santa. We had our first one underneath our belt. It went very well. We expect to be, it was early. People were making fun. We could have brought our kids in their Halloween costumes and things like that and everything. Carol, I think you might have sent me that. If you'd like to come out and have a picture taken with Santa, it's at absolutely no cost. If you'd like to bring some canned goods for the only food pantry in the township, Helping Hands right down the road, we'll have a place out here and we'll make sure that they get there. So that's all I got today, sir.
Will we have Santa? Can you talk to Santa about maybe being here for the lighting of the tree?
Yes, sir. He will be here for that, because that's when the parade kicks off.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, all.
I do have a question. Mr. Jim Stevens? I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We've talked about it, but can you update everybody on
two meetings ago, we had people asking about what they thought was our property.
Off of Fisher Road.
Yeah, I just, things like this, I know in the past that things like this has been brought up and we've never readdressed it, and I'm trying to do a better job at readdressing issues.
It is not, when it was brought to our attention about that being an actual roadway of the township.
All right.
It is not.
Cromwell.
Cromwell, which would be on the south side of 70.
Yeah.
It is not actually listed on our road inventory, which means when we get no funding, it's not added into our 34 miles of road miles that we've got. So since it is not dedicated an actual roadway, I can't do anything with no parking signs on our road because it's not really a roadway. Now back before they put Route 70 in, I'm sure one time Cromwell went all the way across because it does, it is on the east or on the north side of 70. So that's when I had let you all know that this is what I had found out, you know, through the county engineer's office. It's not considered an actual road. The township may own that property right there, but from a road.
Can we find out if we own that? I mean, if we own it, we can say, can we, what can we, if we own that, then we can say, hey, no parking here.
I'm sure you guys, as a board, could draft something up and send it to whoever's using it as a parking area. I can't really, from road department side, I can't go in. And,
but it is our property. You did.
When you go to the county auditor's website, it pulls it up as it's board of Franklin Township.
So is the board okay with us making a motion to notify said owners of the area that this property is not meant for parking?
Are we 100% sure that the court?
He said he checked it.
All right.
Okay. So be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin County, Franklin County, Ohio, that Cromwell, south of 70.
Why don't we hold off, John? Okay. Don't mean to interrupt you, but I think we need to do it by parcel instead of Cromwell because it's not really Cromwell.
Okay.
But we need to let Steve do some research and get the parcel number. My opinion, but.
I concur. So I'd like to make a motion to have our administrator get necessary detailed facts as well as parcel number by our next meeting so that we can vote on no standing, no parking, however that goes.
No use.
Use of Franklin Township property without the written consent of the Board of Trustees. With that being said, I would ask for a second.
I would second that. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a roll call vote.
And, sir,
we'd be more than happy to sell that land to those people.
I'm sure.
Well, that's a Cromwell property.
Yeah. So, and that's what I want to say. With this motion, this is the Cromwell off of Fisher Road, south of 70, or south of Hague Avenue.
What's presumed to be Cromwell.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And with that, you, I asked for a second. You second it?
Yep, we had a discussion, and now it's vote time.
Mr. Blevins?
I'm so lost.
We're making a motion.
I'm sorry, I just...
That's okay.
Listen, you guys are good with it, so I'm just...
We made a motion.
I'm just going to say no, only because... I feel like we should check into
that's what we're doing. That's what the motion is.
Okay, I thought you went ahead and decided to do it because
we're making a motion for him.
I vote yes. I'm sorry. So I vote yes.
Okay. We got one yes.
Okay. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. All right.
I took the advice of the chairman.
Quick question. Yeah. It's a yes, no answer. I asked for the next year's, when do we do this, John or James, you guys,
good point.
Schedule for next year?
Usually we do that in the first meeting of January. Year, yeah.
Okay, it's just that I'm planning a vacation, and so I'm trying
to... We could do it earlier.
No, I don't need that. I just want to, it doesn't really make sense that you would do it in the first week. It would seem to me you would get it in place before that, but if that's when you do it, it's fine.
We can do it whenever we want.
No, it's good. I'm good with this. I just had asked for this. So we're good.
Okay, we did say we'd allow some questions.
Carol.
Jesse Lee?
Yes. Carol had a question.
My question
when will the levy go back onto a ballot?
We had our initial discussions in our budget meetings today. We're talking spring.
Be about May?
Yep.
Can I keep my sign and my door hanger and put them back out again?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that all the questions that we had for the board?
Or for Kelly?
Yes.
Kelly?
When you were speaking about the wall going along the freeway, what clarify again, what part of El Paso?
That's El Paso behind the Waffle House.
Oh, okay.
So as the exit ramp comes up right there, they're so close. And the fence goes down through there, just a chain link fence.
Right.
And so in talking with ODOT, a resident reached out to me and says, is it possible to get one of those walls? And I said, I don't know, I'll check with ODOT. So I called ODOT and I've been talking with them for the last 9 months in trying to get this on their appropriation. And they are visiting the idea and doing studies on it and et cetera, but it kind of looks like they may do that. What kind of wall, I don't know, but...
Okay, I don't know how well it does protect from sound.
I don't know.
But, you know, we hear it because it's in our backyard.
Right, right.
So I thought, I got excited for a minute, I thought maybe you were talking about
well,
my part.
Well, it's not to say that that could
be
done.
Not to say we can't. Not to say we can't.
It'd be up to ODOT. If ODOT does this side, I got a feeling, though, that we're going to run into resistance because of the two churches. They like to be seen from the freeway. And how they get away with this, they actually take the fence and curl it back and they cut that whole area all the way down to the freeway.
Right, right.
Then they sneak back over and close the fence. And it's, you know, they want to be seen.
Right.
You put a wall down through there, you'll see the steeple. You know, I don't know how tall the walls normally are. I don't know what type they use, if it's the stone 15, one.
No, it's about 15 feet.
So if people in your area are saying, hey, could we get this?
We've talked about it over the years.
We can talk to ODOT as well. Yeah. I never thought of it because I don't live on that side. And when I got a call about that, and I said, well, let me see what we can do. So it's been 9 months of it.
They cleared all the brush on our side, too.
Yeah. I guess there's, I don't know why, but there was homeless on your side, too. And
well,
it made
I
it
wasn't
camp.
Aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it either. But they cleared that all the way down to Hague, and where Westway Body Shop said there was a huge camp up there.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I guess out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else? Go ahead, Angela.
No, I was wondering if we could actually get like Franklin County Auditor, that zoning guy, if he could get in here now because the home rule kind of failed and he's our only hope to.
Well, whenever they hire enough for him to come to a meeting, we will.
Yeah, we only have one.
There's only one in the whole county.
Right, but I just thought maybe.
No, they're not going to do a meeting.
Okay.
We can ask.
We can
right.
ask,
I
but
mean, there's nothing wrong with asking.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd all like to know who the person is. Maybe
he's rude. I mean, the times I've talked to him, he's not helpful and he's very so.
Yes, Brenda.
Oh, he did. Another one did.
Okay.
Oh,
meeting's adjourned.
Jim Stevens.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so they're on Wilson Road. When you first get off the freeway and you turn right, there's that fence right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
That's city.
Is that city?
Wilson.
The only reason I ask, okay, because it's just on the other side of that fence, is township.
Mm-hmm. The hole in the fence?
Yes.
Yes. We've dealt with this hole
for years.
Yeah.
10 years.
We fix it, they tear it apart. We
fix it,
they
tear it apart.
ODOT come in. Wasn't ODOT
yeah.
fixed it? Not
yeah.
the city. ODOT come in and fixed
ODOT
it.
ODOT quit saying they're going to fix it because 2 days later they cut a hole because they don't want to walk all the way around. The homeless.
So is it okay if the residents of Moneyback close that up themselves?
If someone can cut it, why can't someone put it together?
I can't tell you one way or the other. I can't.
What's the difference? You know, what's the difference?
I mean, if you did it from our side, not walk around.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just inviting all those homeless people.
We fixed it.
Come back through there. is why.
At one time, what we were seeing is the homeless would collect the money, and this is my opinion from what I've seen. Then there was a drug house. They would go straight down that street.
Yep.
And they would go visit, I won't say the name. Yep. And then that's what, it was closer for them to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of going all the way around.
Yeah.
They're squatting in one of the houses down there, so.
If you can get us the address.
Can you give that to Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got, Jim.
Thank you.
Yes,
I dare you.
No, I thought we were done.
Oh, okay. Meeting's adjourned.